Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. We're here to talk about WrestleMania and what's going to be one of the most interesting WrestleManias you'll have to critique in your life when you look at everything in totality. So we'll get into that in just a bit. We'll also talk about, you know, it's late April, just wrapped up WrestleMania. This is around that season where you're going to see a big batch of releases, and we just got done with one. May not even be done. We don't know, but we'll get into it. And then we'll talk about AEW because there have been some changes in AEW. I've been watching more AEW television as of late, maybe not last week because of things that happened that we'll talk about. But wrestling's at a good state right now. I mean, so to speak. Maybe not the business side of wrestling. If you look at WWE and, you know, how underwhelming it has been, the early days of the TKO era. Remember when we all got done with WrestleMania 40 and they finally pulled that trigger on Cody and it felt like the cap of such a great weekend of wrestling, and there was a lot of hope and there was a lot of promise for what the new era of WWE would be, free of Vince McMahon. And now I'm constantly being reminded of things that Vince McMahon would have done better than whoever is in charge of WWE currently, whether you want to look at creative control and Triple H, or you want to look at the real heads like Ari Emanuel and the suits. It was a very underwhelming WrestleMania weekend. If you look at the statistics, night one, if you just separate night one, night two was like 5,000 people better. Night one at 50,806 claimed attendance. That is the lowest attended WrestleMania in a stadium ever. That's lower than 19, and 19, you know, clears it by at least 3,500. So it wasn't a great look for WWE, you know, to have to be constantly reminded of all of the empty seats in the crowd.
Yeah, I mean it, and again, like, The ticket sales have kind of not, it's been a big story, obviously, for 6 months or whatever. I think really, you know, it's two things. Like, obviously, they're not, I don't think, as hot as they were a couple of years ago. And I think that's part of it. You know, going back to Vegas might be another thing. But, you know, and the thing that, you know, Kevin Nash and some others touched on was it just the international people just weren't coming here. They don't want to come to America for various reasons, be it financial or security. And I mean, you kind of saw that on display, and you definitely saw it where it was very evident, I think, was the crowd at Raw on Monday, because it was just a regular Raw crowd. It wasn't like the traditional night after Mania crowd or whatever. But yeah, that was a big part of it. I think that's, you know, as big as anything, really, where those international people just weren't coming over for any number of reasons.
Well, those Raw after Mania crowds have been dead for years.
No, but this was a particular dead, like, you know, sometimes you'll still, go ahead.
I mean, Bron Breakker got a dead reaction when he came out to win the NXT title in 2022. This is nothing compared to that. Those crowds haven't been around for years, in my opinion. Obviously, you know, the international people aren't going to come here because it's incredibly unsafe to be in this stupid country we live in right now. But I just push back on the idea, and I think a lot of these crowds lately have been dull. This wasn't just a Vegas specific thing; they've been pretty mum for quite a few weeks and months. I mean, there have been people who have chanted for Chris Jericho during women's matches back in January. There are people who have done that sort of nonsense occasionally for the past couple of months. I mean, they're not getting the same crowds that they used to a couple years ago, and I think, you know, they might not be hot, but they're also not as good. The writing hasn't been as good for the last 2 years at all whatsoever, to talk about the show itself. All the top-down angles have all stuck.
Yeah.
I just think that that's really the only thing that I will push back on is I think that the crowd in Vegas is more representative right now of a crowd that's just kind of weird right now, but also maybe not into the show.
But also like a crowd that is exhibiting a lot of fatigue. There's a lot of, you know, I think it's finally catching up with you. You know, it's not just WWE. I think some of the independent shows had some weak crowds as well. You know, you're losing some of the key important events of WrestleMania weekend. There is no more Wale Mania. Barnett's Bloodsport, which originally started as Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, unfortunately, as I was reminded, that's going to be no longer, or is at least taking a pause. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of just have spring break and you know, if you really want to see any promotions from outside of the country. But then, you know, as you mentioned, you're losing all those folks who are coming in from outside of the country who would want to go to those shows. So I, you know, it's an interesting time for business. It doesn't make it any better that you don't run house shows anymore. Some of these, you know, guys and gals, you know, aren't crisp in the ring. And so, like, why do I want to pay all this money to go see house show level, you know, matches? Like, Saturday night, WrestleMania night one was essentially a Monday Night Raw. That's what it felt like. It felt like a glorified Monday Night Raw on Netflix, first event, whatever. It was just very un-WrestleMania-like. And, you know, you needed a great night in night two to save the whole. But, you know, it's not great. I don't, you know, it's very interesting. I don't know of a modern time to kind of compare it to, because, you know, life is so different than, let's say, 1995 when shit was really in the shitter. So, like, the company's not in the shitter, but, like, creatively, but then also fan-wise, like, you're not seeing the numbers as you previously did. You know, it's just it's a very interesting time for the business as a whole.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I think, you know, night one was pretty bad, but I do think they did.
Night one was bad because it was bad.
Yeah.
Night one was bad because it was a bad show. They made a bunch of weird decisions, and a lot of it didn't work because they had to do some abrupt matches with the women or whatever. They didn't go very long, but it was. I just thought it was just a bad night, but they redeemed themselves the night after.
Yeah,
I don't think that we don't need to invoke the year of 1995 here. I think we need to settle down here right now.
I'm just saying from a fan perspective, as in, like, do I really want to go to these fucking shows? Right, like, there's that same, you know, kind of mentality of like, where's the interest in going to these fucking shows? Do I really want to have to pay to go to a Raw and it's 3 fucking hours of nonsense or 2.5 hours of nonsense? That's kind of where we're at, you know, as wrestling fans.
Well, right, that's now. But
we don't even we're missing a lot of the independent shows or the independent promotions that we all, you know, held dear just years ago. I'm not saying it's like 1995. I literally just said it's kind of hard to compare this to any other year because of the time period that we're living in. What I'm saying is, like, we're at a low right now. That's undeniable. Compared to a few years ago when it was like, yo, I feel very promising about where wrestling is right now. We're at a low. We're at an undeniable low.
I think the thing is, though, what do people want to go to wrestling shows for, though? I don't think it's for the meat. They want to see the stars. People go to these shows because the kids want to see Cody Rhodes or the kids want to see whoever.
But when you don't want to go to a WrestleMania, when adults are saying, yeah, no, I'm good on going to WrestleMania.
This is supposed to be like Disneyland
for wrestling fans. You don't even go just for, you know, WrestleMania. There's people who usually just go to show up to, you know, the indie events. They're like, ah, fuck that. I'm not even going to do that. Right, which is why I'm saying, like, this is why we're in the lull that we're in. In totality, we're in a lull.
I'm not disagreeing, because again, I have not been into the show from a creative standpoint, but I just think that most wrestling fans, they don't care about the meat of the show. They don't care about the matches. They go because they want to see stars. And I think that from that perspective, if you do Punk Roman and that can't move anything for you, what is going to? I think that's just a state of whatever right now. Because if you have two box office names like that and you're still, you know, not doing what you were doing a couple years ago, what are you going to do about that? Because again, I mean, it doesn't, at this point, those are the two biggest guys that the company had to offer in terms of a singles match, and they did that, and then that's what they had.
Yeah, I'm not here to say, like, because Night 2 was great. Like, we're not here to, you know, wax poetic about Night 2, because we will wax poetic in a bit about Night 2. I'm just saying, like, when you look at the weekend as a whole,
yeah,
because the Night 2 doesn't save the entire fucking weekend. It just makes Night 2, you know, like one of the greatest single day WrestleManias of all time. But you still have Night 1, and you still have Friday Night SmackDown, which was very shit. You still have Monday Night Raw, which is very shit, and kind of indicative of what we get on a weekly basis at this point. So now, you know, when we're just gonna check back in July, probably. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's usually how it goes. You know, maybe you watch Backlash, I guess, but that's like 2 weeks away, which is crazy.
And then we're doing that's the thing about show, the summer too. They kind of confirm that they're going back, no matter what.
That's the problem. That's the problem with the summer that you run into is that between Saturday's main event and the pay-per-views, there's something like every 2 weeks, so it's hard to really get anything built to. We kind of ran into that last year too.
Yeah. Not even sorry about the build, because I don't think at the end of the day, the build to WrestleMania didn't really have anything to do with the show. Very, very rarely has anything to do with the shows.
That's true.
You know, give these fucking events time. You know, Backlash, like you said, is in a couple weeks, and then a couple weeks after that, you're going to Saudi, and then, like, give these fucking events time, please. Let's talk about the main event of Night 2, which, you know, gonna have to watch it back, because there was some other shit going on, but it looked like a phenomenal WrestleMania main event. Some people are saying it's one of the greatest WrestleMania main events of all time. I'll check the tape and go back on that, but it was a phenomenal main event, and very proud of Punk. Very proud of Punk for going in there and understanding, like, hey, I'm going to job out to Roman Reigns, but I'm going to make this look like the greatest job you've ever fucking seen. You know?
Yeah.
Roman coming out and showing up. Roman was on top dog level again. I'm glad there were no shenanigans, because I was very worried there was going to be some kind of shenanigans. Never bought into, I don't know why everyone wanted to fucking shoehorn Cody Rhodes into, you know, making his way into this main event, but I thought they did a wonderful job. I thought it was a great main event. I thought it was it was obviously the only logical way to cap the weekend, right? But they did what they needed to do. They gave it time. They gave it the necessary time. And I was worried that one of them wouldn't come out looking great. I'm so glad that's not the case.
Yeah. No, as far as like all-time great main events, it's definitely up there. It's probably top five, honestly, just like, It did everything it needed to do. It was the two biggest names that they could possibly get, like Chris had said. And, you know, this is one where I think the build was kind of all over the place, but like you just talked about, just get it in the ring and have it be good, and that's all people really remember. And they did it. I mean, it's, you know, I know people don't care about Dave Meltzer or whatever, but it's one of the six WrestleMania matches to get 5 stars. So, you know, it's obviously contemporary, critically acclaimed in addition to the fans. I know Cage Match, which is another thing people don't love, it's got it over 9, so it's like it's pretty well received from basically all sources, and for good reason. I mean, it was obviously I think the best match of the weekend, the best match of that night, clearly, and one of the best matches that we've seen in WWE in quite some time, because you don't often get the two top guys going at it like that. I mean, we saw it with Cody and Roman, but like, other than that, it's hard to really think at times where it's like, this is the clear two top guys in the company wrestling just a regular singles match. And it was really cool. It was awesome. Punk's entrance was awesome.
A match that you can legitimately say is a dream match. Because they've never been in the ring against each other on this stage when they're both at this level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they delivered.
I will be the one to declare it as a top five Mania main event ever. I think it is in the company now of Rock Austin 2, Lesnar Angle. The first Roman Brock match.
Yep.
And I guess take your pick after that. A supercut of the 39 and 40 main events, like it's Infinity War and Endgame. I'm counting it as one.
Fair.
I don't care if it's cheap. I'm counting it as one. So the whole thing needs to be watched to understand it. I don't care. So that, to me, and also, like, it's, like you said, Pierce, I was worried that – what I was concerned about, actually, was I thought that was going to happen because it actually played out this way. Saturday, Orton, you know, he kicked – he RKO'd McAfee, and he's gone. So I thought what was going to happen was McAfee was going to turn up and pick Roman or whatever, and that's how they were going to run this corporation 2.0 angle, which – I don't even want to get into how stupid that idea would have been. Thank God they're not doing it. But what I was worried – so I was worried that was going to happen. And then it never did, and we just got a clean finish after an epic, and I was just fully sold on it. I mean, I could not have genuinely asked for more except for maybe a Punk win as a fan. But, I mean, you can't even be mad. You really cannot even be mad.
Apologies if you hear chopsticks in the background. Neighbors, I love Philadelphia, and I love the fact that these houses are so close together. I can hear everything my neighbors are doing. thank God we're done with that. Thank God McAfee is at least smart enough to understand what wanted to be around. Because yeah, they would have done some really weird shit. And you know, again, this is when you get to the business side of things. Can you guys stop meddling in affairs that this is how WCW folded. This is exactly how
what I was gonna get into, like, I don't want to ask, can they ever do this again? Because I don't think that that's a fair question. Because obviously there's been plenty of celebrity involvement in this company for the last 43 years that would suggest that yes, you can make it happen, but like, what's the go around? I mean, I guess going back to what they were smartly doing and keeping it away from this shit in the future, or what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just it hasn't worked now. I think like
it's got a stick on it now. That's the problem. It has a serious stick on it.
Well, I just think in the main event in particular, fair, because I think Lil Yachty did a fine job. I mean,
I think he might be signed. He's on the roster. He's making all these trips and wonder. He might actually have like a deal. I don't even know. I would have to.
I think he's just a manager now.
I think that would be a smart move, at least in the short term, to hire Lil Yachty to be Trick Williams' manager, because you got something going. He's obviously a fan of the business, and you know he would be there otherwise.
Yes,
I think you know when you start getting into like just involvement for the sake of involvement. Like, Jelly Roll is involvement for the sake of involvement. We need to stop doing that.
Yeah, like, okay.
That shit needs to stop. If you know, you want a Bad Bunny to do a match, then cool, fine, because there's somebody that actually cares about the shit and wants to be involved. If you can find an interesting way to involve celebrities, they've been doing that for fucking years. You know, they've done it well, they've done it terribly. But, yeah, don't stop. You don't have to do it at WrestleMania. Not in this way.
I've heard this before, and I have bought into it in the past. Sometimes they really act unsure of themselves. It's like, and I even went back and forth with Rob on this in private, because we were talking about how they weren't really focusing on the history between Cody and Randy and how people wanted them to do that. And how my counterpoints were mostly, okay, yeah, but it was in 2007 to 2010. We've gone over that era. It was terrible. If you really went back and looked at it like we did, there really wasn't that much to really work with in terms of history besides they were working together once and then they weren't. So I can understand if they went back and thought, okay, maybe we're a little unsure of ourselves here about whether or not that's going to fly or work. But man, why is your next turn to just go to, oh, we need to use these celebrities because we're unsure that our top star, our QB1, as we always call him, and a guy who's held the title for almost, 14 times now?
Yeah.
Can't get a Mania main event over. What are we doing? I think that the problem there is that just shows a complete lack of confidence in the wrestlers and just themselves. Like, I hate when they appear just so unsure of themselves. It's so frustrating because I think that they are capable of doing anything that they want to. There's enough of a segment of the franchise, the fan base, whether they go to the shows or not, that are willing to accept pretty much anything as long as it entertains them. You don't have to, this doesn't need to be like an Emmy Award winning storyline. You don't have to try so hard. Yeah,
but to them it needs to be hard to force it either. But to them it needs to be, because you've now started this fucking unreal show. And you've made it such that, like, the behind the scenes, it's so interesting what happens behind the scenes. You know,
so I now think so too, but, like, still. You've got to have some quality control.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, you know, you have now decided that opening the door is a part of, you know, it's a part of the game. It's now a part of the circus. Right. You now have an obligation. You now have an obligation to, you know, not do silly shit, because if you want to open yourself up for criticism, even more criticism than, let's say, when Vince McMahon would do stupid shit. Because at least if Vince McMahon would do stupid shit, he could have a fucking excuse for why he did the stupid shit. Here now, your stupid shit's on display for everybody, for the world to see. And let's say, yeah, you know, we got final say in what goes on during this show, yada, yada, yada. So now you are controlling the narrative. Who are you? Now you're controlling the narrative. Now you're telling people, hey, you know, yeah, no, we'll lie to you. And that's the worst thing that you can do to your consumers, is to lie to your consumers.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, like, it's clear too, like, there is a lot of TKO involvement. Like, it's not all Triple H. I don't think he wants, you know, Pat McAfee involved in the WrestleMania main event, but, like, at some point, the two sides need to agree and realize that, again, two straight years, it hasn't worked now. Like, if you want the celebrities to be involved, like, listen, if Pat had a singles match or whatever against, I don't know, anyone, like, we've seen that before, whatever, that is what it is. Like, it's not for me anymore. I don't care for him at this point. But, like, if he just has a match, whatever. Same with Jelly Roll. You know, he had the match at SummerSlam. Who cares? I don't remember it. But, like, you get them involved in this thing that is supposed to be important like this, especially after you did the same thing last year and it didn't go well. It just, it's not going to work. And you have to know that from a business perspective too. And, you know, again, maybe Pat basically just saying, this isn't for me, I can't do this anymore, is a wake up call for a guy like Ari Emanuel or Nick Khan, but it's probably not, because guys like that don't have wake up calls.
No, no such thing. That's why, like, fucking Tony can be right at a ringside, and the camera will just slyly show him giving a heads up to Cody, because they want you to know who these people are. That's why you get Ari Emanuel sitting there in his fucking quarter zip.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's bad, it's dumb, and I'm glad that they weren't gonna, or I'm glad that Jelly Roll and Pat realized that, you know, they don't want to be resented or whatever, because they were going to go through backlash, apparently, and even who knows how long, how further. So.
No, I mean, yeah, no, Jelly Roll's used to you know, evading backlash.
Yeah, because the thing with the tag also is that might have been off anyway because of what happened with Cody and his friggin' eye.
Yeah, that's true. Cody did get hurt. Pretty bad. It looks quite bad.
I think makeup.
It looked bad on Raw, actually.
I think the makeup on Raw was pretty spot on. Okay. Good job, makeup. To me, his eye was definitely fucked up, but there was definitely some makeup in there too. Yeah.
So basically, in summation, they can do whatever they want with celebrities. Just keep it the fuck out of the main events.
Yeah.
Or if you want to really do it, make it make fucking sense. Don't just, we're gonna just throw you into this. You have no value to this story whatsoever.
Like, oh yeah, Orton and Pat McAfee. Oh my god! Like, really? Like, they don't have any sort of. And the other thing that kills me about that is they did that in friggin' St. Louis.
Yes.
Like, really? You had everybody. You had Steph go out there, slap Cody, and basically say, "Oh, he needs to be different," or whatever. And you had people going, like, people like myself, being like, "Oh, he's going to St. Louis. Is he going to go after his dad? Are they going to do some sort of angle in front of everybody in St. Louis where Cody beats him up?" But they just doled out Pat McAfee instead. It was weird. It was all very, very strange. I don't know. And again, I just don't know why they thought that was going to be a good idea.
Uncreative.
Very much so.
I thought that Rhea and Jade had each other's individual best WrestleMania matches, which, at least in the case of Jade, it's saying something because Rhea's had some bangers.
I think that's saying something for Rhea.
Well, I guess I'm for Jade to match up on Rhea's level.
Oh yes, of course.
I did not see that from Jade. I figured it was going to be a lot of, you know, Rhea trying to carry that match and like, yeah, you know, yeah. So what, yep. So much, but Jade really stepped up, and I want to give her flowers off the bat.
Agree.
Yeah, no, they did a wonderful job. It was a great co-main event. If they would have main evented night one, and I would have lobbied for the main event to night one, I think that would have been a much better way to end the night.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I thought the match ruled, honestly. I wish it would have got a little more time, but I thought they did a really good job with what they had out there. And yeah, because I mean, I think, you know, between the build and all the behind the scenes stuff that's gone on the past couple months, a lot of people were expecting it to either be a disaster or Rhea having to do, you know, the bulk of the work to make it good. But I thought Jade looked great. I was surprised at how good Jade looked out there.
Yeah, and, you know, to that point, like, in a way, I'm not trying to spin a narrative about Jade or whatever, but, like, this was a prove-it match for her, right?
Yes.
Like, if you think about, it's been 2 years since she got there, and there's some proof in that pudding, I think, but not a whole lot. Not that she hasn't... I think she's done well, but I don't think that she ever had a performance quite like this where it was like, oh, okay, yeah, she's something. She's legit. This is one of those instances, and if I may, I did find it a little disappointing that the champion, both champions in the women's divisions, didn't retain their titles. I knew Liv was going to win, and I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't expect that, but like, I just think, and this is just me being tangential, you had an opportunity, I think, where, first of all, no one just gets any match with Rhea Ripley and beats her. You especially don't have the opportunity to do that all the time at WrestleMania. She's been there since 36, and every match of hers that she's had, except at 38, has been a world title match. I don't want to say that going back to Rhea and Liv feels like such a status quo move, but having Stephanie and Jade win at WrestleMania over Liv and Jade over especially Rhea could have done a good job of, you know, just pass the baton a little more. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. I think you could have really given those two an opportunity that they probably won't have for a very long time now, to put their stamp on their reigns and just to give them a moment for the company also as they continue to evolve with the women. So, you know, like, just something about that feels like it could have been ceremonial and they just passed it up for some reason.
I see you on that. I think that's very fair. I don't necessarily have an issue with the outcome of either of the two matches. Even though I was hoping Jade would win, I don't mind because I'm saying, like, you know, you're moving Rhea over to SmackDown. She's going to be your anchor at SmackDown. I get it. I think that they were too gung-ho with all of these title changes. And maybe the two title changes that didn't happen were two of the ones that I thought were kind of shoo-ins with Cody retaining. I thought that you could have made some money with Randy winning the championship there. I don't think Cody absolutely needs to win. I'm not mad that Cody won, but that's that. I'm also not mad that Penta won, but you can also make an argument that that's probably the easiest way for him to lose the championship is in the multi-man Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania. So I was a little bit shocked that it didn't happen there. But, like, you had the tag titles losing. Like, hey, I kind of get that once you decide that Paige is going to be the entrant there with Brie Bella, you know, what's the WrestleMania moment, right? So, exactly. I get that happening, but yeah, I would have did one or the other in terms of the women's titles, preferably have Jade retain.
Yeah, agree.
What was the other title, man? Well, the trick one was kind of obvious.
Yeah,
The trick one was that was there was no other decision.
Sunday was the night of you made the easy moves. You didn't muck it up. You put your closer in the game, 1, 2, 3, night, night, go home. That was the easiest calls in the world for basically, you know, all of the matches on that night. But the Trick looked like a fucking star. But I think the MVP of the weekend as a whole is up with Femi. If you did not watch professional wrestling, if you didn't watch WWE before Saturday on ESPN2, and you finished WrestleMania, you would think Oba Femi is going to be the next Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, they did exactly what they had to do there. You know, credit to Brock. I know we aren't thrilled with him at the moment for obvious reasons, but you know, he the entire feud, like, it reminded me a lot of the Drew feud, and that obviously got fucked up because they had to go into the warehouse. But Drew kicked out of the F5 at one in that match. Oba no sold it in this one.
No one has ever done that either.
Like, yeah,
no one has ever just gotten up from an F5. People have kicked out of the F5.
Mm-hmm.
I know this for a fact. No one has ever done that before.
Yeah, and so I mean that.
Whoever it was that thought up that, whether it was Brock, whether it was someone in the room.
Heyman.
Probably Heyman, yeah.
Good job. Heyman, good job. Good job, Paul.
Yeah, good job. I mean, that was incredible, and I just, exactly what that match needed to be. And I don't think Brock's actually retired. I still think he's going to come back, and
he's going to do that match in Minneapolis. They have to.
Yes, 100%.
Because you've established the favor.
Exactly.
We all know what the favor is. Speaking of Gunther, I thought that match fucking rocked. There was any match on Saturday that fucking made that night worth it, it was Gunther and Seth.
Yes, they did what they had to do.
I wasn't even, you know, paying full attention because it was Seth, and then they kind of hooked me in. Like, this is good stuff. You kind of knew it would be. Like, they're just two guys who know how to have a WrestleMania match, every match in general.
I think the one thing that, and this is another night one problem that I really, that a gripe that I had. I thought you could have just saved Braun for Raw. Why? You had 5 matches on that night in a row end with some kind of dirty finish or interruption.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is, like, you did Seth Gunther, and immediately people were like, oh, I want to watch these two guys work. Just have them work. Save Braun for Raw. You can do that spot or whatever. I don't care. I understand.
Yeah, but how do you get the Street Profits coming back on Raw?
It's true. Yeah.
then you have to have creative figure out another way to get the Street Profits on the Raw. And I don't know if they could do that.
It's true.
I will say this. I think that's a match where it's extremely hard. If you have one go down clean, you know, you kind of don't want to do that. I get it. I totally understand it.
This was the way
that, you know, Seth lost, but he had to get a fucking spear by a goddamn maniac running at 45 miles an hour. You know, I totally get that one.
It was kind of my same reaction to the tag finish earlier in the night, because I was like, and I corrected myself later when I realized this. And I was like, okay, they had a feel-good moment with Brie and Paige, especially winning the belts, but Nikki cheated to win? She pulled Charlotte out, who did nothing to her, and hit her with her crutch. I'm like, that just ruined it. But then I remembered a key piece of context, I guess, is that, first of all, I guess it is no disqualification in a Fatal 4-Way match. Mm-hmm. But there was rampant cheating and, like, disobeying of the rules in the tag division for the last, like, 6 weeks. Bayley and Lyra were cheating to win to beat Charlotte and Alexa. Yeah. So that part I get, but in the immediate, I was just like, what the hell?
To be fair, Roman hit Punk with the stairs, and
yeah, that's true. That was really that was, like, bizarre.
Like, no one cares because the match is great, but yeah, just right in front of the ref, just hit him with the stairs.
Yeah, no, there so was a bizarre. Lot. The ref, like, had to let a lot of shit go in that match. And then when he went to the crowd, he started doing a 10 count. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
you're just making a thing where it's like all WrestleMania main events are no DQ, because who cares? Like, then everyone can see everyone they want.
I would just make every WrestleMania match no DQ, because who wants to end a WrestleMania on a DQ? This isn't WrestleMania 8. You don't need to ride into WrestleMania DQ.
Yeah, that's
it. I think the first 13 or so had a DQ finish because I was watching through them leading up to this one. So I'm glad they went away from it.
It's funny. I think you could probably explain that away to people. Be like, it's WrestleMania. The ref's going to let it go. It's like how... What does everyone always say in sports? It's the playoffs. Let them play. Refs, it's WrestleMania. Let them wrestle.
If you
sold people on that language, I think it could work.
Well, that's fine. Like, they did a table spot in the main event of MJF and Kenny, too, and that wasn't a no-DQ match. So, like, whatever, just do it. Who cares? No one wants to see the main event be a DQ anyway. I think it's just a common sense thing we can all agree on. But yeah.
No, it's a little bit too controversial. Sorry. The fuck? Back to Brie and Paige winning. I mean, I guess it's fine to see Paige. Now she's not dating any men that are completely harmful.
Yes.
We kind of understand where this is going to go, right? Like, when Nikki's finally back healthy, they're going to tell Paige.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
It probably has to be Becky with Paige then.
No, because what they're gonna do,
in the Intercontinental Championship. Oh, okay, never mind. I thought you meant it's tag team.
I think that would.
Well, I thought they could at least to start, and then maybe do an Intercontinental Champion. But Paige could just go right to challenging for that too. I don't know. I think they're gonna do Paige and Becky at some point.
I don't even know if they're gonna do that because right now, in the immediate, Nikki is clearly going to attack Paige.
Yeah. Fair.
Like, she's going to say that, you know, she took her moment or whatever. I know it. I know that that's what's going to happen. That's where this is going to go. And that's fine. I guess I don't know who's going to... Well, I guess I do know who could team with Paige then, if that's what they're going to do. And you know what? No, AJ.
I think she's done.
Yeah. That's fine. If you want to... No, She sounded like she was done for now, but I don't think she's going to be done completely.
Okay.
I could see her coming back for that because they keep making a big fuss about, look at all these people from 2015 who are back. And
WrestleMania 31 rematch.
Yeah, and she wanted to, you know, have a moment with Paige and the Bellas or whatever. Like, yeah, I can see that totally happening. I really can. And that's fine. That's fine. Just, I wouldn't make it for the belts. I would have the belts continue to be hot. I wouldn't have those two hold those titles for very long. I think that division's been too good for it to go into like a residential speed zone for a couple weeks or months or whatever. Like, especially Charlotte, Alexa, Bayley, and Lyra. I know Bayley and Lyra are facing Roxanne and Raquel tomorrow, which is going to be fun.
No, that'll be good.
So yeah, I wouldn't have them on them for long, but. I totally understand why they did that. I have no complaints. I mean, why would I after last year when I had the rug pulled out under me like 2 hours before the show?
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Real quick, as we wrap up WrestleMania, do you think that, at least on the Roman side of things, the right way to go in the interim is Jacob Fatu?
I do. Yes, I do as well.
I think
because Rob, if I may go here, sorry. I think that it's not so much important that and I think anyone thinking Jacob's going to win or is crazy.
Wow.
What I think is important though is if you went from him facing Drew, you got to keep him legit and hot. So the goal of the match at Backlash, in my opinion, is to just make Jacob look like a real deal main eventer, and I think Roman is going to do that for him. So if that's the goal, I think they will pass it with flying colors.
And I don't think you necessarily have to, not involve Drew there. I think that's a perfect spot, for Drew to go take a vacation, come back, and then insert himself right back into a feud with Roman Reigns, right? Because they're destined to do this forever, it seems like, but... I like that it's Jacob to kick it off because it's someone familiar to Roman. It's someone that Roman's going to want to put over and make look like a star in these waning months before we get to SummerSlam. And then I don't know where we go from there. If we do Oba, someone new.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Roman and Gunther, since Gunther's going to have to fill time probably till SummerSlam, presumably, when he's going to face Brock. So So maybe they do that in Saudi. Or...
So my next question was this: we get around to SummerSlam. Who is Roman Reigns facing at SummerSlam? I mentioned Oba Femi. Is it Oba Femi?
Yeah.
Is it Gunther?
I think it's Oba.
Is it Gunther or is it CM Punk?
Now, it seems like they're gonna do Punk Cody. I don't know if that'll be SummerSlam, but sure could be main event one of the nights with that. And then, yeah, I think it's gonna be Roman and Oba. Or I mean, if they're gonna do Brock and Gunther, maybe they. But I don't know if you have that like in the main event, because not that it necessarily has to main event, not that Roman's match has to main event, but you would think it would if Roman's in it. So that's just kind of my mentality. But I think Roman and Oba. Is the Saudi show King of the Ring? Did they say?
Or, it's Night of Champions. But they've done. I think they've done the final there before anyway.
Because, I mean, it seems like a no brainer to just have Oba win King of the Ring, assuming you're doing it, and that's how you get the SummerSlam title.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking too, because they went out of their way to call Oba the next big thing after he won his match. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be shocked if they tried the exact same plan with him.
So I think there's a real chance we see Roman go Jacob, Gunther, and Oba. And all three of those are incredible, matches on paper, incredible program, new stuff for him. And it kind of is rejuvenating. I don't think reading some of the stuff he said last week, I don't think he's necessarily a sure thing for Hollywood as it seemed like. I think he realized it's not as easy, as certain individuals have made it seem, forgetting that certain individuals for the first 10 years weren't in anything good, really. Until Fast
but
and
also,
Furious.
Like, that but also, that person has the gift of gab, and, like, I Roman is, as uber popular as he is, doesn't have that.
No, yeah. He does not. Also,
go ahead.
Can I make a prediction? CM Punk is going to win the Money in the Bank contract in New Orleans, and he's going to challenge Cody. On Monday, he kept going to Cody. You never know when a title shot is going to fall from out of the sky. Good thing that there's not – there is a match where you can literally grab a title shot out of the sky.
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought that could be a SummerSlam main event.
Yeah, and if that's until September, then we're gonna wait a little
bit. Yeah, I could see that happening. I could see them pushing that to maybe Mania. I don't know.
Would he be the first three-time Money in the Bank winner, I think, right?
He would be the first three-time Money in the Bank winner. That is correct. So that's my bold prediction right now, that he's going, because the words there just felt so purposeful to me.
It did, and he said it twice.
Just fall out of the sky.
And he did, yeah. That's the title we want to see him with.
Of course. Yeah.
They made a really good job making this one feel important because it had two really important guys fighting for it. That's how it works. But
Punk had a great reign, by the way. I want to give him his flowers for that, because he put on some damn good matches. I mean, he worked well with Jay. He worked well with Finn. Yeah, shit. Keep going.
He worked well with Jay. Sure, like, but which Jay are you talking about?
He did the best he could.
Yeah, fair enough. I was about
Tony Allen your ass, boy. It's out the mud. We got Rashad McKay.
The Usos got new music, and then it was so bad they changed it back.
It's just us, Zeus. Really or what is it? Is it just, I don't even know what the fuck it is. Jimmy, do you need to go home for an extended period of time, Jimmy? We all want to know. That's all we're trying to figure out. I thought that was going to be the night two reveal. I thought night one, it was like, oh yeah, Bianca comes out and shows she's pregnant. And then night two, Naomi reveals she has the baby. And then we could just inflate the attendance by a number each night. two extra things before we move on. One, congratulations to Bianca and Montez. Yes. I know they've been trying for a very long time. Montez, it's great to see you back at work. You don't need to be working. And then number two, has there been a character to hit WWE and be so money as Danhausen is right now?
I was wrong. He's great. We let the debut really confuse us all, and it's been great, though.
But see, here's the thing. That's probably the best case scenario debut that he could have, because he comes in and it's so bizarre and like so what the fuck that the crowd had no way to react. But everything that shtick was obviously going to work. in every turn yeah. was going to work, and they have he has done a tremendous job. Rob, you'll understand this. One of the homies was like, he's like if a Conan O'Brien met Sven Gulli, and it's absolutely perfect. It's absolutely perfect. He's doing such a wonderful job. He's all over their fucking social medias. They had the Danhausen blimp, the Blimphausen. Like he is making them so much money, and he really does not have to wrestle. He's wrestled like two matches.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He's great.
Yeah.
He is.
He's also just a reminder that wrestling does not have to be this one thing. It can be so many other different exactly. things, and it's all
it really hilarious. Really good.
Unfortunately, we had another round of releases, these post-WrestleMania releases. They came quick, happened on Friday. I may not have an updated list. This is as of 8:30 Eastern on Friday night. But this is the list of the WWE names that have been released. Every single member of the Wyatt family, so that's Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy, Nikki Cross, who's been there for at least a decade plus in Uninterrupted, Joe Gacy, Eric Rowan, who this is probably his third time being released, Dexter Loomis, who was released and came back. Kairi Sane is gone for a second time. The Motor City Machine Guns, and it's very upsetting for me. I mean, like, yeah, they were kind of like an oddball, group in WWE, but they had a moment to at least say that they were WrestleMania. They performed at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and man, that should have happened last year. They were in that 5-star TLC match. They had a good run.
Good but short, and you know, you could say could have been better. I wish I could say they wrestled at WrestleMania, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Aleister Black, I don't know what bridges he has, but let's hope that he doesn't have a torch because he's going to need it. His wife, Zelina Vega, can go back to being Thea Trinidad. Santos Escobar is finally gone. They spent so much money to keep him, and they did nothing with him. So what was the point of lighting money on fire? Happy he got paid though. Zoe Stark, who is I believe still recovering from ACL injury. I mean, I hope that she's, you know, healthy, because then this will be a Rich Holland situation. Alba Fire, who immediately went on Twitter and said Kaylee Ray could beat Alba Fire's ass, and I agree. Apollo Crews, who it felt like had been the don't pick up the phone MVP for the last like 8 years or so. I'm most happy for him because I think that he can go anywhere and just immediately be a star, because he's got the look, got the physique, he's got the in-ring ability. It just wasn't meant to be, because WWE doesn't like, you know, short or black men. And now you get to the NXT portion of the releases. Andre Chase, it felt like Chase U, it kind of ran its course. And it was very much like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do for, you know, what are we going to do with this anymore? Dante Chen, who I figured had been along longer than that. He's only been around 5 years. Tyra Mae Steele, who is just the latest Olympic medalist or Olympian to not pan out in WWE. Which honestly, like, we need to give Kurt Angle and Chad Gable and Mark Henry a lot more credit, because I think it's proof that I think Tyra Mae Steele, Gable Stevenson, they're proof that just because you are Olympian, that does not mean that you have the athletic ability to stand up in WWE. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. I don't know who Chris Island is. Tyreek Igway, Trill London, Serena Linton, Luca Crucifino, Malik Blade, Tyson DuPont. You know, I guess there's a couple surprises in that list. I think Wyatt Six had been on TV enough to justify them sticking around, but also, like, what were you going to do with them? Kairi Sane, I feel like, got a bad deal. It's a bunch of girls that, you know, were not thrilled to see her go. Again, what the fuck is it? Where's Aleister gonna go? Because, you know, AEW, I don't know. What do you guys think of all these?
You know, okay, Rob, go first. You're good.
I think, I don't know how many of these are really surprising. Like, you know, I guess, like, in terms of names, I guess Aleister's a little surprising, but, like, you know, the Wyatts, people just never really seemed interested in using them, and they do seem pretty tough to use as well. So it's like, you know, what do you really do there after a certain point? Like, it sucks. You know, I think Nikki Cross was someone that they never really did as much as they could have with. We saw what she was capable of in NXT.
She was a champion.
She was. Aleister's another guy where it's like there's kind of a limit on what you can do with him too.
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns, it sucks, like I said, but like I think they had a good run all in all for, you know, what a tag team can do there. There's a ceiling on that, and I do hope that they go to AEW and it goes better this time. Kaylee Ray, I think, is probably the only other one from this group that will go to AEW. And I think that will do a lot for them as well. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you kind of figured they were coming, and, you know, it sucks when it happens, obviously, but like, it's not anyone that can't be replaced. I know that's not the point either. If you're a fan of the person, it sucks. But like, from a business, you know, sports team perspective, you just keep on turning.
Well, it's funny you brought up that, you know, people getting replaced, because they actually did replace almost everybody that got released on main roster, at least this week alone. Ethan Page debuted, Soruka debuted, all of Fatal Influence, including Lainey Reid, who just got there less than 2 years ago. She basically skipped NXT and is now going to be getting her reps on main while making main roster money. Good for her.
Jasmine Nix, shorty, man. You might be a fumble the bag all-star. You just have to wait a couple more months.
Yep. And Blake Monroe's going up to SmackDown. Ricky Saints is also going up to SmackDown. They called up five people on Friday alone with two vignettes for formerly known as Mariah and formerly known as Ricky Starks. There's a lot going on. They've called up so many people from NXT within the last year alone as well. You think about Roxanne and Stephanie and Oba and Javon and Trick and Julia and all these people now. It's like they're pushing, and they are – I said it last year, I believe. A common thing I kept saying was I want them to call NXT people up because I think some people on main roster are too comfortable. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of people on there who have been on the show for a long time and haven't really, you know, they've either capped out or they've, you know, they've gone as far as they could possibly go. And with the Wyatts, it's like, I think the problem that they constantly run into them with this, and this is dating back now, like even back to 2012 when they first started, is like, they can't be every week characters. They just can't. Not with all the, you know, all their build up to, but like after that, it's like if they're not going to be at the top of the card, which they're not, then how do you pull that off reasonably? And I think that they constantly ran into problems with them. So they might have been making a ton of merch money. I'm sure that they probably were. I'm sure that's probably why they were kept around for so long too. I know Rob said, you know, it didn't seem like they were interested in booking them, but they kept them around probably because they were making dollars, but, you know, now the bean counters decide, oh, well, okay, no longer useful, let's go. And if I may, the one actual problem that I have right now with these releases and the releases in general, I am tired of them stooging out these releases to these reporters. Then, because the reporters all get heat for it, and I just want to be clear here. For the people who are angry at people like Sean Ross Sapp and Corey Hayes or Mike Johnson, or anyone who's ever reported on these releases, where do you think they're getting this information from? It's not the people who get fired. Because if you're putting that into, if you put that into words or whatever, in your mind, you're saying that you want a reporter to go into a wrestler's direct messages or email or whatever, or texts, and ask them if they got fired.
Or you believe that.
You want
that,
them to be the equivalent of a Grim Reaper?
Or you believe that the first person that a wrestler wants to talk to after they just found out that they lost their job is a fucking journalist.
Yeah, exactly. No. I find it – no. What you should be asking yourself is, where are they getting that information from? And also, why do they not publicly announce these things anymore? Was it because Future Endeavors became a meme for them? I'm sorry that that happened. You can still – be a professional public company and announce when you fire people who are on your roster. Because everyone just gets moved to the alumni section that no one visits. And if you're not online, if you don't have an account on Twitter or Blue Sky or Instagram or anything else, and you are completely unaware of who the reporters are and what they report, you know nothing. You don't know when these people get fired. They just stop showing up 1 week, and you're left to ask a bunch of questions to yourself about, where do these people go? And you're like, oh, did they retire? Did they get fired? Why? Like, do you really – like, there were people who probably thought Mercedes retired from wrestling.
Probably.
Because all that they ever saw was she walked out and that's it. There's never any update. Nothing. If you don't pay attention to anything else, you know nothing else. So I have a serious problem with them stooging out these reporters to all get heat, because then they're all like, oh, they want to be right instead of being, you know, a good person. Again, the reporter's obligation is not to be the Grim Reaper to ask somebody if they got fired, because then all they're doing is being under the impression that, yes, this employer told this wrestler that they were fired. I bet you some didn't. I bet you some people found out online on Friday night that they got fired because that the company doesn't tell them clearly. So I just find that all ridiculous, and I'm glad I got to rant about that because it's really been bothering me.
Oh, good. Real quick, before I kind of get predictions of where you think these people will land, I think there's two things that I think people think can't be, you know, inclusive. It is, you know, being able to acknowledge that this is news. This is something that, you know, needs to get deciphered, as you just said, and that, you know, hey, you can't blame the messenger. You can't be mad at the messenger for delivering the message. Well, I also think that you can't be mad at people for being honest and critiquing why people, you know, are getting released. I think it's shitty that you're looking at people and saying that they should be released, you know, even though I think they're like, you know, like you said, there's probably people that are complacent that, you know, probably are on the hot seat. I'm never going to sit here and say, yeah, that person should lose their job. But I also think that it's honest to critique someone for losing your job, because guess what? We do the same shit in other sports. We do the same shit with baseball players. Oh, man, that reliever, man, he just wasn't getting it done in the eighth and the ninth inning. And there's absolutely no way that you can keep that person around. Oh, this guy, he's fine for mid-range, but he can't shoot from three. In this day and age, you need guys going to shoot three. That's why he's not on this team anymore. You know, you can be honest about people in their workload. I think we get very sensitive over wrestlers, which, whole shit, we didn't even touch on. I don't even know if we're going to have time really to touch on the lack of privacy that these fucking people have for wrestlers. The nightmare stories at WrestleMania weekends. But we look at these people like they're our best fucking friends. Like, we know them so well. No, the fuck you don't. No, the fuck you don't. Sometimes it's okay to be like, yeah, I understand why they got cut. I understand why the Wyatt Six aren't there anymore. You know, I wish them well, and I hope that they do well in the future, but I understand that. Real quick, I'm just going to kind of go down the list of relevant people and be like, hey, which promotion do you think they land?
Okay.
Motor City Machine Guns, I think we all go AEW.
Yeah.
I'm going to group Aleister Black and Zelina Vega together.
Probably TNA, honestly. I don't know what the situation – I mean, I think they could go back to AEW, like, even if – it didn't end well or whatever. Like, he's still a big name. And, like, I know Buddy Matthews is coming back at some point. They could just do the tag team again without Brody King, because he's kind of outgrown that. So, but yeah, I'd say probably TNA.
Who, Aleister?
Aleister, yeah. And Zelina.
I think the place where they could probably achieve what they want to achieve is TNA, because they are into all that spooky stuff. I don't think it's going to work in AEW if they try that again. I also... it just feels like, and I don't want to say that they should make decisions based on how the fans feel or whatever, because I think the fans, some AEW fans take the us versus them stuff a little too seriously, but it doesn't seem like anyone really cares to have him around again. It's just, it's a weird situation. It's a really weird situation. I'll predict TNA, though. Fair enough.
Kyrie.
Marigold.
Yeah, probably.
Somewhere she's one of... She's very loyal to Rossi. She's definitely going to go to Marigold, I think.
We all agree Alpha Fire, Kaylee Ray is going to AEW or would fit in well in AEW.
Yeah, I think she'll probably do the she'll probably be back in Eve in Ospreay's promotion or whatever. She'll probably do some matches there. I can definitely see her wrestling formerly known as Dakota. I could see that. I don't know what that's gonna do other than her getting a paycheck, which good for her, obviously. But I think that that's where she's probably going to end up, for sure.
Santos Escobar.
If she wants to continue wrestling in America.
Santos Escobar, and under which gimmick?
Not AAA. Maybe, I don't know, because he's also old, right?
Yeah,
he's up there.
Over 40, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, he's 41. So that's interesting.
He could do TNA too. I mean,
he could probably do TNA. He could probably do TNA. He was in Impact Wrestling previously before, going to WWE.
I'm going to say the next time we see Santos Escobar, at least we will see a Santos Escobar in Lucha Underground. Did you guys see that there was a teaser for Lucha Underground?
I did.
It's exciting. I see King Cuerno again. Maybe we see King Cuerno again. Apollo Crews.
I guess AEW probably.
Yeah.
I can see it. Just because I feel like he probably TNA knows probably enough people.
Move. Yeah.
Yeah, I think TNA would probably be a lateral move for him. He made main roster money for like a decade plus. So he's definitely, I don't think he's going to be complaining about a paycheck or whatever, but like, he's somebody. Let me see how old he is.
He'll be 38 in August.
Go for your last big paycheck. Get some money in AEW, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Tony to give you some money, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick, let's talk about AEW. I was really excited because I thought Dynasty was a really fun show. I thought, if we had to grade, it would be night two WrestleMania, AEW Dynasty, night one WrestleMania. That's how good the AEW Dynasty was, or how bad the night one WrestleMania was. But that's not the point. My issue with AEW is that they now decided to just undo that good and give Darby Allin an AEW world title. With zero fanfare on a Dynamite the week of WrestleMania week, so you can try to steal headlines. I thought that it did nobody anybody favors. And it's not that I'm like, I think that was a dumb move. I think if you really wanted Darby Allin to be a world champion, you would have built that shit up a lot more than you did.
Yeah, because he kind of just like said it at Dynasty, like I'm challenging for the world championship in Seattle or whatever. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I get why they did it. I think MJF is going to win it back in a couple weeks. They're going to have a few good matches with Darby and other people in between. So, like, yeah, whatever. But, like,
the argument to do it, never what everyone's argument that they were saying, because I was watching what everyone was saying when they were doing this, was like, oh, we can try to, you know, steal buzz, steal headlines, steal attention. Do something during Mania week that makes people think, because everyone was expecting Mania. The people who were saying this, they were expecting Mania to dissatisfy people. So it would be like, oh, look at this. And, you know, you could see this as your selling point.
They put out the tweet about all the numbers, in like the second that WrestleMania ended. So like they were trying to capitalize on anybody that was poo-pooing and down on WWE.
And the numbers came back yesterday, I think, and they went down by 100,000 for the show after he won the title. So the gamble didn't work then.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do something, you hope that it gets you some benefit, not you go down 100,000 viewers, which is what happened.
This is Eric Young winning a TNA world title.
Yeah, pretty much. I know people like Darby or whatever.
I get that too. It's just like, again, if your whole thing is we're going to do this for this reason and then you don't achieve that reason, you have to work your way backwards now.
Yes. No, I'm with you. He is an important like piece to the AEW story too. So yeah, you probably could have done it with some more fanfare or whatever. I do like how they did it with the squash or whatever, but like it doesn't.
I guess they could have done that with Mox or whatever, but then that didn't happen because Tony wasn't giving him the title. Because everyone was like, oh, he's going to Mount Everest. He doesn't deserve to have the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. AEW's going to need a really good summer, and it's not like you don't have the horses to go have that good summer. I don't want to rush that summer in with Darby Allin as their champ. What was wrong with MJF's champion, man? MJF was a really strong,
honestly, nothing
heel champion. There was no need to make that switch, but they decided to do it anyway. So, good job, Tony Khan. Fucking fantastic. You know, I mean, other than that, I AEW is a good product. AEW is a really good product. I think the wrestling world wars kind of need to end, and we kind of need to understand we got two really good products on hands. Tekla, I think we'd be pumping Tekla up a little bit, but you know, she nice. I think they've done a great job of kind of influxing newer talent, whether they be established names elsewhere or like a Tekla, you know, kind of like unknown to an American audience. Ricochet, I don't know if being a bald heel is really working for me, but you know, whenever Apollo Crews goes to AEW, the two of them can just, you know, be together as a tag team, as a faction, or whatever. The bald, angry black heels. That's what I would call them. All right. Anything else from the world of wrestling?
I don't think so. No, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. And yeah, just a reminder, if you decide to go to any of these events, please do not stalk wrestlers. That shit's not fun. They're human beings.
Yeah.
Treat people like human beings. That's crazy. Beings.
And like, I know it's Vegas, and like,
yeah, there's, well, that's
like,
the,
so many ways to the elevators or whatever, but like, there's got to be more security in place. Like, I know you have to go through the casino to get to the hotel part.
That's the problem.
Any resort you stay at, but like,
that's really hard for them to lock down the entire first floor of a big Vegas hotel. It's kind of just the. It's really one of the downsides of what they're doing right now with the Vegas events. Or whatever.
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast when you decide to go where you decide to go, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, unless you're like an NBA team, you kind of just, you know, hey, you're on this floor, and you know the teams go through these entrances and all. So I mean, I can't seem to say NBA because it's not like we've had a ton of NBA games, NHL games. We don't even know where they stay. Do they stay in New York because it's like right there?
Yeah, I don't.
But point being is like it's a little harder to do that in Vegas. So I don't think the onus is on WWE to provide more security. I think it's on us as a general public to be in the right frame of mind. That is not a sane thing to do, to be sitting outside of celebrities' hotel rooms trying to search for an autograph or trying to touch people. The touching thing is the weirdest part. Why do you want to touch someone bad? Like, do you think you're fucking squints and you're gonna feel Wendy Peppercorn's lips on your lips for the rest of the fucking time? Do you think you're Doug? You know, episode of fucking Doug when Patty Mayonnaise touched him, his hand was glowing for like two fucking days? No, this is not that. Stop trying to fucking touch people. You're germy and you're weird. And you're getting people's did we not learn anything from COVID? We learned nothing. We went through that whole fucking ordeal and we didn't learn, hey, man, maybe touching people when they don't want to be touched isn't the right thing to do. Or accosting people when they don't want to be accosted. Oh, but, you know, no. Stop fucking doing that shit. It's not cool.
Leave people alone. Like a
loser. Leave people alone. Leave them alone. Sometimes they want to be alone. Sometimes I want to be alone. Don't you want to be alone sometimes? Don't you understand that? Hey, you know, I just got through wrestling for not even 70, sorry, 50,000 people, and they do so fucking much. And this is not even just WWE I'm speaking about. This is about all the folks that are at WrestleCon, all the folks that are working the indie shows, the folks that work 8, 9, 10 shows and go sign autographs and take pictures all fucking weekend. The WWE wrestlers who aren't even wrestling, but they got to be on every single minute, because this is where you have to represent your company and represent your fashion and be at your tip top. And the last thing that you want to do when you're sick and tired at the end of the day trying to get to your hotel room so you can sleep for 4 hours and then do it again tomorrow is some fucking loser with a cup or a pitcher or a paper and a Sharpie. Hey man, can you sign this? Or hold out your fucking phone. Hey, can I take a selfie with you? You don't need it that fucking bad. I promise you, you don't need it that bad. It is not that serious. You can go, and I'll share a personal story for just to end it. You know, Raw came to Philly a couple months ago, and we were outside. We decided it was cold as shit. We decided, hey, you know, we'll just, you know, stand outside, wait for some folks to come in and whatever. And a couple folks came over. Ivy Now was there. Ivy Now took pictures with every single person in line, which, cool on her. Also, you kind of have to do it because you want to, you know, get your name out there and be, you know, be in people's memory frames. And then Punk and Javon came through. And, you know, Javon, young boy, he's just trying to, you know, get through and get his coat of shit. Punk was very, I don't know if despondent was the right word, but I think it was very clear he was just trying to get through so he can get inside. This was right after Royal Rumble in Saudi. I think they just fucking got, you know, back to the States. You know, and this is the first show after getting back to the States. I can imagine how fucking just, you know, out of it you are. Person who I was with was like, felt very small. Felt very small, you know, in the little tiny interaction that they had with CM Punk. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of, I feel, the norm when it comes to these interactions. You know, you sit there and you try to search for a memento or a picture or an autograph or whatever, and you hound these people, and the last thing that they want to do is this. Respectfully. Mm-hmm. Because they do enjoy your time and your company. They're appreciative of that. But man, they are fucking running on fumes. And it's not personal. It's not personal to diss you or to make you feel small or anything like that. Maybe they could handle things differently. Cool, fine, but we're all human. And sometimes you just fucking feel, hell, I got nothing left in the tank. And so, hey, maybe it's not, maybe you can just, you know, not push them for a photograph. Something very small. Anyway, we are out of time. We are going to go watch more wrestling, kind of let shit simmer down before Backlash in Tampa, Florida. I'm sure they're going to do a nice little thing for Hogan in Tampa, Florida. I got to watch the documentary so I can laugh more at Hogan's lies. Sometimes they trickle out online, and it's really funny. So I got to watch the full documentary. But anyway, follow us online, X, Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook. Drafts just ended. The boys will definitely have a draft recap coming up. Did you like the Bears picks? Did you hate them? Did you think they needed a tight end in the third round? Do you think they reached for a wide receiver? Let us know what you think. Those aren't my thoughts. I'm just sharing, you know, the consensus, I feel, of what people are, you know, saying about the shit. Baseball pods out. I, you know, we got a lot of things. Sometimes when I keep up with everything, but like, we got a lot of things. Please go pay attention. Scott's talking soccer. So if you're a depressed Arsenal fan, I'm not fully there yet, but I'm on the fence when it comes to Arsenal. So if you are a depressed Arsenal fan, you want to listen to other depressed Arsenal fans about the depressing Arsenal end to the season, go watch that. Go listen to that. And then, yeah, keep supporting everything we do here at the Barber's Chair. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. Enjoy the wrestling. We'll see you guys later.